Good morning, everybody. And so, the reading from 1 John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And his word has no place in our lives. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so before I actually launch into my small sermon, a few things first of all. Now, many of you might have a smartphone, and on that smartphone you might have the COVID symptom study, which 4.5 million people are using. Well, 3 days ago, it said, are you physically normal, as it does every day? And I thought, no, I've got stomachache upset. So I said, no, I'm not. Well, that started things going. There's a great list of things that you can be wrong with you, and they have something that's similar to tummy upset, so I put that in. The next thing they wanted, my name and my age and all the rest of it. And then Christmas morning came, and at 7 in the morning, said, you have been selected to go for a COVID test if you so wish. I thought, Christmas morning? I don't believe it, as somebody used to say. So at 11 o'clock in the morning, I was down in the car park next to Asda, sticking the thing up the back of my throat and up my nose. And then I went to my remaining son in this country, Stevens, for Christmas lunch. And then yesterday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, what happens? I get a message saying, you have not got COVID. So I thought, well, that's a relief. So that's that out of the way. And secondly, I was very interested to see Sally with her origami on Christmas Day. So that got me thinking. And so I had a search around the house. And here is an example of origami. And the question is, you might say, that's pretty good, is that? You might wonder what it is. Well, I think it's a Japanese crane. The reason it's a Japanese crane is because 13 years ago, we hosted the 100th anniversary of Scouting, and North Yorkshire Scouts had a group from Japan staying. And I put 2 Japanese scout leaders up for a night, and one of them was a master in origami. So I have to say, it is not I that have created it, but it's remained so long. And having finished with that, he then produced something else, which I still have, a samurai hat, which I shall not wear for the rest of the sermon. So what else did we used to do? Well, at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we used to at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, if I was preaching, I sometimes had a joke. So here's a Christmas joke. It was Christmas and the judge was in a merry mood as he asked the prisoner, what are you charged with? Doing my Christmas shopping early, replied the defendant. That's no offence, said the judge. How early were you doing this shopping? Before the store opened, answered the defendant. Right, and now 1 John. One of the reasons most frequently given by Christians for visiting the Holy Land is that they want to see the places they have read about in the New Testament. Hundreds of thousands of believers travel in every year, except sadly this one, to Israel to sail on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, gaze at the site of the Nativity in Bethlehem, kneel with fellow Christians in the Garden of Gethsemane, to be physically present in those same places that the historical Jesus visited is a very powerful experience and can strengthen faith and be an aid to prayer, as I can personally agree. And for the readers of John's letters, just as for many of you, such travel was not possible, but they had instead something even more powerful, a witness. They have the words of one who had not only visited the towns and villages of Jesus, healing and teaching, but also been with him when those wonderful, miraculous events had occurred. Believe what is written in this letter, writes John, because its author saw Jesus, walked with him, shared his physical life, and knows it to be true. John shares his witness, his experience of the Son of God, the Word from God and of God, whose saving mission was so much more than healing or encouraging stories to help us live our lives in a better way. The Word of life had come to all people to bring life as it is meant to be, its wonderful potential fully realised as a gift to all who asked. Tom Wright, theologian and former Bishop of Durham, summed this up as, life itself had come to life, had taken the form of a human being, coming into the present from God's future. Christianity is probably the most materialistic of all religions. What I mean by this is not that the Christian faith is overly concerned with material things, but it is real and earthy. The opening verses of 1 John make this plain, describing something heard, seen, and touched. Very earthy things. This life in verse 2, though, is also from the beginning, and not only material, but eternal. And then perhaps you may think you have read something similar to these verses before. Quite right, because they sound very much like the opening of John's Gospel. Here, though, the author brings just two great themes together. What is eternal and how the eternal became visible. Because God refused to remain in eternity and apart from hands that can touch and eyes that can see, we have fellowship with God, as it says in verse 3, sharing in this joy is John's motivation. So at the start of the letter, we can see the heart of the Christian gospel. God has come to us in Jesus Christ, and this has made a relationship with God possible. We call this idea grace, because it describes a free and voluntary act that is unmerited. John's introduction unpacks this idea beautifully, making it clear that you and I may have fellowship because the Word of life came to us. Light and darkness are great themes of this letter. God himself is light. In him there is no darkness at all, as it says in verse 5. In other words, in God there is not that misty amalgam of light and dark that makes up the human character as we ourselves experience it. He is pure light, pure holiness. That dazzling concept raises an immediate question. If God is pure light, how can we claim to have fellowship with him? Well, some people did, it seems, if we are walking in darkness. It is the question that no Christian can avoid, and I'm reminded of it when I have the opportunity to lead evening prayer at Burstwith, as one of the opening sentences in verses 8 and 9 from our reading today, if we say we have no sin, that is, our pure light. Like God, we deceive ourselves. And yet the Christian life is one of fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, from verse 3. So we might well ask, how can this be? The answer is twofold. We seek to walk in the light of God himself. Verse 7, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We walk, he washes. To walk in the light is to be open to God and to one another. It is to confess our sins, not hide or deny them. And when we do, the one who is at the same time faithful and just will cleanse and keep on cleansing us from all sin. We cannot live a lie. To continue walking in darkness leads to alienation from God and our fellow human beings. Lacking any sense of direction, we find ourselves lost in a confusing world. On the other hand, to walk in the light leads to an ever-deepening relationship with God, our fellows, and our innermost selves. Darkness is pushed back and the light of Christ transforms us. God has a way through our sins, the way of forgiveness, freely offered. When we acknowledge our sins, we open the path to this forgiveness, a path created by Christ, who has already been punished for them on our behalf. Were we to seek justice, we would be lost. But the debt has already been paid for us. We deserve God's judgment because of Christ, we receive his mercy. So how to conclude? Fellowship with God is not an occasional liaison. It means being like him and doing as he does. John can see a danger in this, and it is despair. What if we get it wrong? Does that mean we cannot know God, or worse, ever have known him? John's answer is that the same grace that came to us in Jesus provides cleansing from sin through his death. The idea of sacrifice is not an easy one for us today, but what it means here is that Jesus' death has been effective. Wrongs are cancelled and an inner change takes place in Christians who acknowledge their weakness to God. So I pray, Heavenly Father, help us to see the connection between our faith and our lives. Thank you that when I fall, I know you will help me through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.